Hello and welcome to the Weekend Wrap for the week on Wednesday. I am Ben Davison and thank you for joining me on this Sunday, sunny Sunday afternoon. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, whatever the weather's like where you are, I hope you're well and keeping safe and busy. So, we've had a very big week since the week on Wednesday was recorded and lots has happened, including some breaking news this afternoon about COVID in WA. But first off, let's cover off one of the big stories that happened at the back end of the week, GameStop. So for those in Australia who aren't familiar with this or who've only just followed it really briefly, essentially what's happened is that a bunch of people online, particularly using Reddit forums, have ganged together as retail investors. Retail investor just means anyone who's not like a massive fund or a bank or someone like that. A group of retail investors have come together and started to buy stocks where they've identified hedge funds in particular have been short selling the stock. Now, what short selling? Essentially, when I short sell something, I borrow the stock from someone, anticipating that with a promise to buy it later on, anticipating that the price will fall. I borrow the stock, I sell it to someone else, thinking the price will fall, and then buy it back when the price does fall and then return it. Hence, making a profit on the difference between what I bought and sold it for. It's a fairly complex system to use, and it's really about betting on the value of a company dropping. Hedge funds in particular do this a lot. They essentially try and offset what they think are going to be gains in other places by betting on companies they think are losing. So this GameStop scenario, GameStop is a walk-in retail physical copy of electronic games type store, think EB Games here in Australia, that's our equivalent. They've also now done this with AMC, which is a physical movie theatre. They've done a little bit with Blockbuster and also a little bit with BlackBerry in the US. So to give you an example of what this has meant is that GameStop started January with a share price of around $17. At close of business on Friday in the United States, GameStop was at $325 a share. Now, why has this impacted hedge funds? If they're short selling, who cares? How's that making a difference to them? Well, it means that they have to buy these stocks to return them, right? They have to be able to have these stocks in their possession. So every time the price kept going up, they're losing money. They're actually physically losing money every time the price goes up. So when it's gone up from $17 to $325, you can see how suddenly, where they've been placing millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of these bets, they're starting to lose billions of dollars and billions of dollars. And if you haven't seen Chris Cuomo on CNN interview some of these people, it's amazing. They're just losing their minds. One of them just really went on a swearing rampage about poor people attacking wealthy people. Robin Hood, which is a platform that the retail traders use to buy their shares, suspended trading in GameStop just arbitrarily, had no particular reason or authority to do so, but it just cut its members off from buying it. And Chris Cuomo from CNN, who has worked in finance, by the way, who was in this game for a long time, just tore the CEO apart for doing this illegitimately. So it's worth having a look at this. What's happened is what's called a short squeeze. That's where the price goes up instead of down, and all the people who short sold on betting on the price going down have been squeezed, if you like, to have to pay money out. And these retail investors are really organized. They want to keep doing this, and they're really targeting hedge funds who they see probably legitimately, in the views of many, many people, as essentially trying to rig the market, trying to drive down the price of certain shares for themselves, create circumstances that are favorable for them and their large investors at the expense of small retail investors. And here you've got a complete inversion of that. Really interesting, worth having a look at. If you get a chance, pick up a couple of op-eds on it. Just keep an eye on it. And of course, just be mindful of what this might lead to in terms of regulatory change in this space, because there's a lot of discussion now in the US around what does this really mean? If people can do this, what impact will it have on the markets? So that was a big story that happened towards the end of the week. It'll probably keep boiling over a little bit in the background, but I think some of the focus will come off it because there's been some other huge things happen, not least of which was just this afternoon in Perth. there has been some community transmission of COVID. Now, after 10 months of not having any community transmission of COVID-19, WA now has some. So they're putting in a lockdown. Perth and two of the regions are having a five-day lockdown. It's been announced already. Mark McGowan came out. So school holidays will be extended by a week. There's talk of working from home, limits on a whole range of hospitality, retail, all the usual things. Do check out the official information on the WA government websites to find out exactly how this will impact you. Do listen to the health advice. As someone who's been living in Victoria, or is from Victoria and lives in Victoria, let me tell you, you've got to follow the health advice. If you follow the health advice, you'll get through it quicker. If you muck about with it, well, we've seen what happens in the UK and the US where they mucked about, and even in New South Wales where they've still got long tail dragging out situations because they refuse to deal with this and listen to the health advice properly. Some other interesting things that have happened in the last few days. There was there's an article on the ABC with a Bundaberg farmer who says that he's managed to find local workers. You know, we've talked about this a little bit, how there's this great pressure to bring foreign workers, temporary migrants here to Australia to work on farms. And really the reality is those people are generally exploited. They're more easily exploited and they often are exploited. And what we've now heard is that a Bundaberg farmer has managed to find local workers, and this will shock everyone I know, but it's because he's paying them decent wages and treating them with dignity, respect, and the entitlements that they deserve. Now, this is, you know, that popping sound you hear is the National Party and the Farmers Federation losing their minds simultaneously. But the reality here is that if you pay people properly, they will do hard work. They will do hard work. If you try and pay people $3 an hour to pick blueberries in the scorching heat, you're not going to get people putting their hand up to do that. And nor should they. Nor should they. People are not there just to be exploited to provide cheap goods for other people. That's not the purpose or the meaning of life. So it's really great to see that somebody has gone, oh, you know what, if I pay people properly, they'll come and work on my farm. This is a guy who used to use backpackers. That supply of labour has obviously dried up. My argument would be that that supply of labour needs to stay dried up. Australia cannot have pockets of exploited labour that are systemically created to support underpayments in any industry, right? Particularly not agriculture. We don't want to be that country. That's not who we are. So let's see how this plays out as well, folks, because my view is that if you pay people properly, they will do hard jobs, they will do hard work. We've seen it time and time again. If you treat people properly, they'll stay on those jobs and they'll get the jobs done that we need done. Speaking of getting the jobs done, speaking of paying people more and making sure people get the proper conditions at work, the ACTU has launched its campaign against the Morrison's IR Omnibus Work Choices 2.0 bill. They're calling it For the Workers. My understanding is that there are ads rolling out now across the country. The reports are 13 targeted seats as well. I'm sure as Parliament comes back, there'll be ads targeting them. Every worker in this country should be getting behind this campaign. Go to the Australian Union's Facebook page, go to the Australian Union's website, check them out on Twitter if that's your thing. The Australian Union's campaign is going to be the only way that we convince crossbench senators from implementing Morrison's wage cutting and fire on demand laws. If we don't do that, then we're going to have real problems. CFMEU and ETU, as I understand it, have launched a campaign as well that runs complementary and parallel to this called Stop the Bus. Great campaign as well. Get involved in that, particularly if you're in construction, particularly if you're a Sparky or in one of the industries covered by the CFMEU or the ETU. Everybody else, absolutely get involved in For the Workers. We've just gone through a pandemic where every commentator, every politician, everybody who wanted to pose for a photo and pretend they were, you know, we're all in it together, was talking about how essential workers were, how essential were people who, you know, worked in retail and hospitality and healthcare and aged care and disability services, in contact centres, who did front of house work, you know, who worked in reception, how vitally important and essential these workers were. Well, let me tell you, the Morrison IR Omnibus makes it easier to fire those people. You know, anyone who works in any of those industries will be more easily fired as a result of that bill. They'll have their wages driven down as a result of that bill. We've already seen retail come out at the end of last week and say that anyone who makes $57,000 a year or more should be ineligible for penalty rates, should be ineligible for overtime payments. Now, let me tell you, if you're making $57,000 a year, as I'm sure many, many people already know because you're on a wage like that, without penalty rates, without overtime, the niceties of life go by the wayside. You can forget about putting money away for Christmas. You can forget about putting money away for that holiday to Queensland. You can forget about putting money away in case the kids need braces. You know, $57,000 a year is not a lot of money. And if you take away people's penalty rates and you take away people's overtime payments, that's the stuff that actually makes life a little bit nicer, a little bit more livable. There'll be a lot of people as well that the penalty rates and overtime on those wages are really just helping them get by, really just helping them make the payments on the mortgage, make the payments on the credit card. So we know that if we don't stop the IR omnibus bill, that's what's going to happen. Wages are going to be cut. They'll be cut from awards. They'll be cut in agreements. They'll be cut right across the board. And we know that people will be in a situation where they're more easily fired for no reason at all. They'll be transferred into the casual employment, told you're a casual, that's it. And if you do anything remotely wrong, not even really wrong, but just wrong in the eyes of a dodgy boss, then you're out on the bricks. So get involved in those campaigns. For the Workers is the Australian Union's ACTU campaign, and Stop the Bus, CFMEUETU. Check out the websites, check out the Facebook pages. I'm pretty sure they'll be doing stuff on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you get your social media. Check out those campaigns, share them, get your friends involved. And remember, if you're not already a union member, join. There's never been a better time to join. There's never been more people joining. This is the time to join your union. And that's pretty much the weekend wrap for this week. 12 minutes. Hopefully you've got everything you need to know coming into what will be another big and busy week. There's one thing I do want to give a shout out on. There's still around 40,000 stranded Aussies. Someone pointed this out to me on social media at the back half of this week. There's still around 40,000 stranded Aussies who now have even less chance seemingly of coming home with the closures of airports, flights from the UK into Dubai, flights from the UK into Singapore. These are, of course, transport hubs. Now, these are often people who've been overseas for work. Not all of them are high-paid jobs, I have to say, as well. There's a bit of a misconception about that, folks. There's a lot of people who've been doing work as teachers, a lot of people doing work bartending, things like this, who want to come home. People who were overseas because a family member was sick or dying, who now need to come home for their other members of their family. They're stuck. There's about 40,000 of them. Morrison kept talking about bringing them home before Christmas. We're now about to hit February. 40,000 Australians trapped overseas, often in difficult, sometimes dangerous conditions. It's really, really important that we keep the pressure up on this. You know, this isn't a luxury issue. This isn't something that doesn't impact working people. This is a real problem for many, many working people who are now stuck and being forced to pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for flights that don't exist, to stay in accommodation that they can't really afford, really struggling to get by. 40,000 of our fellow Australians who are stranded overseas. So big shout out to them. Big shout out to everyone who's trying to help them. You've got my support, you've got Van Batten's support, you've got the support of the week on Wednesday, and hopefully everyone who listens to this podcast will get on board and support that as well. So have a great week. First week of February. Hopefully your start to the new year has been a good one. And remember, be kind to yourself and to each other. Bye.